Chapter 3. First fan approaches. The night was dissolving into quiet inside the stadium. The last echoes of the crowd faded, voices drifting away like distant thunder. The lights above the stage dimmed one by one. Alex stepped through a side corridor, his guitar still slung over his shoulder outside. The air was cooler, real, calm. For a moment, he simply stood there, breathing in the silence. Then he saw her. She waited near the railing that separated backstage from the empty street, not eager or clamoring for an autograph like the others, but standing calmly, hands folded, with a gentle smile. The moment Alex looked at her, something inside him shifted, not surprise, recognition. She walked closer. Her eyes held a quiet warmth he remembered, soft, knowing, patient. "You said we'd meet again," she said, her voice carrying the same melody he had once known in another time. "I didn't believe it back then." A memory flickered through Alex, a warm wind through old Parisian streets, rain against the windows, laughter over late dinners, a promise whispered beneath dim lights. She looked at him for a long moment, as if measuring the distance between lives. "The life we live together," she continued softly. "I cherish it for eternity."
Alex smiled quietly. "Margaret."
She nodded yes. For a moment, neither spoke. The city moved as usual. Cars passing, distant voices. But for them, the world had narrowed to a small, quiet space between two souls who had already known each other.
Margaret tilted her head, playful now. "So, Alex."
He raised an eyebrow.
"Will you go out with me?"
He laughed softly. "For lunch or dinner?" She shrugged, her smile brightening whichever life allows tonight.
Alex looked up at the faint stars above the city. "Dinner," he said. "Good answer," she replied.
They began walking down the quiet street together, side by side,
neither rushing, neither needing to explain anything more.
Some connections didn't belong to a single lifetime. They simply waited until two paths crossed again. Tonight, under the quiet sky, two souls who had once loved in another world were beginning their story again. As they walked, Margaret glanced at him.
"You still walk the same way."
Alex smiled.
"The same way?"
"Like you're listening to something no one else can hear."
"Maybe I am," he replied.
Some things hadn't changed. They reached a small restaurant with warm yellow lights and tables beneath hanging lanterns. Nothing fancy, just quiet enough for conversation.
Margaret stopped. "This place will do."
Alex held the door. The soft chime above the entrance rang as they stepped inside. The waiter led them to a table near the window. For a moment, they simply looked at each other.
Years, lives, and memories seemed to sit quietly between them.
Margaret was the first to speak.
"You really remembered?"
Alex leaned back. "I remembered the feeling first. The rest followed." Her eyes softened. "I wasn't sure you would."
"How could I forget Paris?"
Margaret looked down, smiling.
"Paris feels like another universe now."
The waiter brought water. Margaret watched the reflections dance on the table.
"There's something you should know," she said.
"Something serious?"
"Something beautiful."
She looked up.
"We had 3 children.
The words hung gently in the air.
Alex blinked, then leaned forward.
"3? She nodded, a quiet warmth on her face.
"They were the best part of that life."
Alex felt something inside him shift. Not shock, but a strange sense of familiarity. "What were their names?" Margaret laughed. "You always forgot names." "I didn't forget yours." "That's because you never stop repeating it."
"Fair."
Margaret looked out the window.
"I haven't seen them yet in this life, but I know they're somewhere."
Her voice carried hope and patience.
"Our world is too big for small people like me," she added quietly.
Alex shook his head. "You were never small." Margaret gave him a gentle look.
"You say that now.
I said it then too." She rested her elbow on the table.
"Do you think they're out there?"
Alex didn't hesitate.
"Yes.
Can you find them for me?"
"I don't need to,"
Alex said calmly.
"No.
They'll find you sooner than you think." Margaret studied his face.
"You sound very confident." I've learned something over many lifetimes, Alex said, and that is...
The people meant to walk beside you always return. Margaret looked at him with admiration and amusement. You always had a way of saying things that sound simple, but somehow change everything. Alex shrugged. I just say what feels true. The waiter returned and took their order once he left. Margaret leaned in.
You know, I used to imagine this moment.
Which moment?
Seeing you again.
And what did you imagine? She laughed. Something dramatic, a train station in the rain or a crowded street in Paris. And instead?
A concert stadium and a rock star.
Alex chuckled, lifelike surprises. Margaret lifted her glass to surprises.
Alex lifted his to finding each other again.
Their glasses touched lightly. For a while, they simply talked, not about destiny or power, just small memories. The kind that make two people feel like they've known each other forever. When the food arrived, the conversation deepened. Margaret told stories about the life they had once shared.
Quiet mornings in Paris.
The way Alex played guitar by the window. The night their first child was born. Alex listened more than he spoke, not because he doubted her, but because every word felt like rediscovering a part of himself. At one point, Margaret looked at him curiously.
You know what I realized tonight?
What? You never actually asked me why I approached you.
Alex smiled. I didn't need to.
Why not?
Because you promised.
Margaret laughed.
You really believe that promise?
Alex met her eyes. I always do. Outside, night-deepened city lights reflected on the glass like distant stars. Margaret reached across the table and gently took his hand.
For a moment, she said quietly, it feels like nothing ever ended.
Alex squeezed her hand softly. Maybe it didn't. And in that quiet restaurant, beneath lantern light and distant city noise, two souls who had once shared an entire life together simply sat and rediscovered what it meant to be found again. Chapter 4. Return to Gaga. The city was hushed when Alex stepped outside. Dinner with Margaret had ended unhurried. Both reluctant to break the spell of reunion. They parted with a gentle promise, one that needed no explanation. Alex wandered alone through the night. The distant hum of traffic and the faint scent of the sea drifted on the cool air above. The sky stretched dark and wide, stars barely visible through the city's glow. His phone vibrated. He didn't need to check the caller.
Did you see the concert?
He asked. A pause, then Gage's voice, calm and familiar.
Yeah, I didn't bother going in person. I watched through someone else's eyes.
Alex smiled softly.
That sounds like you.
I prefer it, she said. Her tone knowing easier not to make you emotional. He leaned over the bridge railing, watching reflections ripple in the river below.
You think I'd get emotional just seeing you?
Gaga laughed, quiet and warm. I know how you sometimes slip through the mind of me rather than the crowd.
Alex shook his head, amused.
You always say things that make perfect sense and none at all.
That's because you always understand them anyway.
A comfortable silence settled between them, as easy as sitting by a fire without words.
The crowd was wild tonight, Alex said at last.
I noticed half the city was screaming your name.
Alex exhaled. It's not really about me.
It never is with you, she said. He pictured her smiling.
I heard the new song, the stadium one. The one where the crowd becomes the song.
Yes, did it work?
Alex looked down at the water. Did it?
Oh, it worked.
Gage replied, her answer simple but warm. I could feel it, even through a broadcast.
He ran a hand through his hair.
You know, I didn't plan that song.
I know you were singing it before you woke up.
Alex blinked.
You heard that?
I hear more than you think.
A breeze swept the bridge, cool and clean.
Something strange happened after the concert,
Alex said.
Oh?
I met someone, Margaret.
You already know, he added.
Of course, she remembered everything.
I expected she would.
Alex's voice softened.
She She asked if I could find our children.
And?
I told her I didn't need to.
Gaga chuckled.
They'll find her sooner than she thinks.
Yes, she said. Certain, it will.
Her confidence calmed him. You're very sure of things tonight.
I always am,
she replied.
Alex looked up at the sky.
Sometimes I think you know more than you let on.
A thoughtful pause.
Sometimes I do.
He smiled faintly, fair enough.
Another comfortable silence.
You looked happy tonight, she observed.
I was the song helped, the crowd helped.
No, she said gently.
You helped yourself.
He frowned in thought.
What do you mean?
You're starting to remember who you really are.
That sounds dangerous.
It is.
You're not worried.
Gaga's laughter was soft now.
Alex, I've never been worried about you.
Why not? Because no matter how complicated things get,
you always find your way back.
To where?
To the people who matter.
He thought of Margaret, the stadium.
And the quiet voice in the line.
You're one of those people.
I know, and you're sure of that too.
I've had more than one lifetime to figure it out.
Alex closed his eyes. You know something?
Talking to you makes the world feel simpler.
That's because you overthink everything.
I do not.
You absolutely do.
He laughed, maybe a little.
A car passed beneath the bridge, casting momentary light.
So, what now?
Gage asked, what do you mean?
You've had your concert, you met Margaret again. You sang your anthem to the city.
Alex shrugged. I guess I keep going.
Good.
Why?
Because the story's not finished yet. Alex felt the weight in her words.
You sound like you know what's coming.
I don't know everything, but I know you.
He pushed away from the railing,
starting to walk again. Well, if you're watching through human eyes tonight, I hope you picked a good view.
I did.
Front row.
Better.
He smiled.
Show off.
Only when necessary.
They talked a little longer. Nothing dramatic, just fragments of conversation drifting through the night.
Finally, Gage said,
you should get some rest.
He grinned. You sound like my mother.
I'm serious.
I know. Alex paused at the edge of the empty street.
Good night, Gaga.
Good night, Alex.
He lowered the phone, standing for a moment in the city's quiet. Somewhere far away, the echoes of the concert lingered. The song, the crowd, the promise of things yet to come. Alex slipped the phone into his pocket and walked on through the night, unaware that his path was already changing. Chapter 5. Laystack's First Crush. Laystack moved through the city with a stillness that parted crowds without them knowing why. Cars rolled by, neon signs flickered. Distant trams groaned, people hurried, shouted, laughed, checked their phones, but Laystack checked nothing. At 113, the world held few surprises for him. Not the city's noise, nor the rain-soaked stones, nor humanity's endless longing to be seen, heard, forgiven, loved. He had studied it all too long not to understand. But today, as he walked toward Alex, with the weight of a century folded into a body that would not age, he felt something unusual. Memory stirring. A child ran past, clutching his mother's hand, trusting she would always be there. Laystack felt something loosen inside. And a name surfaced, Gaga. He didn't speak it aloud. Some names always carried heat. The world dimmed, memory taking over. He remembered Mars, not the dead rock of legend, but red earth warmed by an alien sun. Children, running through glowing dust, half-built farms, whispered prayers, the scent of iron and fruit and hope. He remembered believing every answer lay just beyond the next hill, and Gaga watching him, not as a child, but as someone already complete, even in an unfinished form. She knew before he did. He didn't age like the others at 10, at 16, at 25, still the same. There was no moment of change, just the quiet realization that time had stopped negotiating with him. He told Gaga he expected fear. She gave him only understanding.
You can stop fighting it, she said. I'm not fighting.
You are. You're asking time to decide for you.
It already has.
Into what?
She placed her hand to his face.
Into the shape you'll need.
He didn't understand. He would spend decades understanding. For a time, he chose simplicity. He became a farmer. Not for lack of greatness, but to be with something that did not question him.
The soil didn't care. He didn't age. The animals didn't compare him to time. The sky didn't measure him.
He worked, ate, slept, repeated, for a while. That was enough. Then Sarah arrived. He noticed her not because she demanded attention, but because she didn't. She listened while others spoke, observed while others reacted. When she looked at him, she didn't hesitate or question. She saw him, truly, and continued.
That was enough. He fell in love without resistance or logic, without protection. They built a life. Morning rituals, shared meals, books read aloud, silences that needed no filling. Their hands brushed in passing, gentle and intentional. He never tried to shape her or protect her from time that made her love him and fear him.
Sarah noticed first the glance in the mirror, a strand of hair in the light, an unfinished question. Do you ever feel tired? She asked.
Tired of what?
Of staying the same.
He closed his book. I feel tired when things pretend to change, not when they're honest about what they are.
She searched him. You always speak like you know the ending. I don't, he said quietly. I just stopped expecting it to change me. She didn't understand then, but she remembered. Years later, she understood. They lived time unevenly.
At 40, she said it plainly. You're not changing.
I am. Not the way I am. He didn't answer. The truth wasn't what she needed. At 50, she confronted him. You look like someone who's lived more. He said, that makes you more real to me. And you? She asked, what do you see?
For now,
unfinished.
You don't see what I see.
Then tell me.
I see someone I'm slowly losing. Even though you're still here,
you're not losing me.
I am just not in the way people understand loss.
He didn't argue she was right, not in fact, but in feeling.
Do you ever wish I looked like you? She asked.
Now,
why?
Because then, you wouldn't be you. She closed her eyes, and something inside her relaxed. He proposed without ceremony. They were walking. He stopped.
I want to continue this.
She almost smiled.
Continue what?
This. You already have it.
No, right now, it feels like something we could lose.
And after?
It will feel like something we chose anyway.
She nodded, yes. No ring, no witnesses, no need. At 62, she knew before he did, that was her last kindness. You stayed, she whispered.
I always will,
I know. And then she was gone. The world didn't break, that was the hardest part. It continued, exactly the same without her. Laystack remained 25 for the first time. That felt heavy. He did not seek another. He had loved fully. Anything after would be comparison.
He wouldn't allow that, so he turned to knowledge. Completely, he read millions of books, learned languages, especially Latin, until words became structure and system. He watched shows, studied art, music, theater, understanding why humans told the same stories and why endings never satisfied. He saw the pattern, not a person, but a convergence, Alex, not the cause, but the center. Everything leaned toward him. Laystack didn't question it. He accepted it. Now, as he walked the street, the noise and movement returned. Alex was ahead, Laystack continued. Not as a stranger, fighter, or memory, but as someone who had been moving toward this moment for more than a century. He lifted his gaze for a moment. Gaga was not just a memory. She was consequence, still present. He allowed himself a small smile. Whatever Alex believed he was about to face, it was nothing compared to the truth. Laystack had carried for 88 years longer than Alex had been ready to understand it.
Chapter 6.
Scene.
Recognition.
Alex closed the door behind him with a kind of automatic quiet that comes from habit. Not thought. The house felt normal. Too normal. That was the first thing that unsettled him. Something in the air felt aware, not heavier or colder, just present.
He stepped further inside, keys still in hand, and saw him. Laystack stood by the window, not touching, not searching, not waiting.
Simply there, as if he'd always been there.
Alex didn't reach for anything. He didn't speak. He just looked, and something inside him shifted.
not memory. Recognition uninvited, certain and deeper than logic or sight. The kind of recognition that means history, even if you can't recall it.
Do I know you?
Alex finally asked.
Lace-Tack didn't turn right away. He let the silence linger, then slowly faced him.
You don't remember me, he said calmly.
That's not what I asked.
But it's the answer. Alex studied his face. Nothing about Lace-Tack was visually remarkable. Yet everything felt familiar in the wrong way, like a word just out of reach.
Why do you look like someone I've already seen?
Because you have.
You already know.
Lace-Tack said quietly. It was not a question.
Alex's silence said enough. He wasn't sure which part of him was supposed to answer.
When? Alex pressed.
Not in the way you're trying to remember.
Alex exhaled, tension without direction.
What did you recall?
Fragments, Lace-Tack replied.
Of what?
A pause, Mars. The word landed quietly but thudded through Alex's pressure, not sound. Something in him reacted without permission.
Mars?
He echoed.
Yes.
No, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't need to.
Then why say it?
Because you asked what I remember.
Alex's voice sharpened.
And what do you remember?
Enough to know it's incomplete.
Alex let out a short, frustrated breath.
So you remember something that doesn't make sense and I'm just supposed to...
What? Accept that?
No. You're supposed to forget it again.
That stopped him. He blinked.
What?
It will come,
Lace-Tack said gently.
The past doesn't return all at once.
Past? Alex asked, wary.
Your past.
Silence stretched, heavy with something unnamed. Alex felt that pressure again. An almost memory pushing to break through. Something vast, red, waiting. Then it was gone.
I don't like this,
Alex said quietly.
You're not supposed to.
This feels like you're talking about something I should know.
You will.
When?
When you're ready to stop asking questions that expect simple answers.
Alex almost laughed.
That's not an answer.
It's the only one that won't break you. Alex fell silent, watching Lace-Tack. That recognition didn't fade. It grew, quietly, dangerously.
Who are you?
Alex asked at last.
Someone who's already been where you're going.
And where is that?
Back to everything you forgot.
Alex tried to find something solid in the moment and failed.
Lace-Tack stepped back, creating space. I'm eager to meet them again, he murmured.
Meet who?
Old companions, friends. I don't have friends, I don't remember.
Yes,
Lace-Tack said, calm and certain.
You do. Alex didn't respond, he didn't even turn away. Something about it felt true, in a way that was worse than being wrong.
Lace-Tack moved toward the door, not hurrying, not staying to explain, just continuing.
Where are you going?
Alex asked.
Forward destiny doesn't rush, it connects.
And we just wait for it.
No, we remember it.
The door closed, Alex stood alone, but not the same. The silence now held something, whatever it was. It wasn't done with him.
Chapter 7. Recognition of another life.
The air was different here, not lighter or heavier.
Just complete, Alex felt it the moment he entered. No noise, no pressure, no sense of time. Everything simply existed. And then, he saw her,
Emily.
She stood not far away, as if she'd always been waiting for him.
Not the uncertain figure from a broken future, but whole, certain, herself. She looked at him unsurprised, as if this meeting was inevitable. For a second, Alex didn't move. Recognition surged through him, beyond thought or fear. She took a step, then another, then ran, closing the distance as if every second apart had been an insult. Fragments hit Alex all at once. Laughter, faces, a home, children, her voice calling his name. He hesitated, caught in the rush of arriving memories, then moved. She reached him first, arms around him. No question, no pause. He held her tightly, and in that moment, nothing else existed. They had already lived this. It mattered. She pulled back, hands on his face as if confirming he was real.
Oh, how long I've waited for this, she said, smiling through unsteady breath.
I was looking for you.
Alex said softly, for a long time.
She wanted to believe him, but doubt lingered. Say it again.
I was looking for you.
Her eyes softened in heaven. He nodded. I could have chosen another path, another life, but I felt more comfortable there.
She smiled. Of course you did.
Then, suddenly, what happened to our kids? Are they okay?
Emily held him steady.
They're more than okay. They found their paths, not the ones we imagined, but the ones meant for them. Relief settled in Alex, deep and permanent.
And you? She asked.
He almost laughed at the simplicity of the question. I'm figuring out what I already am.
That sounds like you.
She stepped back, still holding his hand.
What are you doing now?
Moving forward, understanding things I wasn't ready for before.
Still observing everything?
More than ever. She smiled knowingly.
Are you playing games?
Depends on the rules. She stepped closer. Tournament of power next year.
He saw paths forming already.
I haven't decided yet. But I'll be there. She didn't question it.
Good, I missed you.
They stood in silence, letting the unfinished feeling linger. Words would have locked something in place. He looked at her, not as memory, not as possibility, but as presence.
I know.
They moved together, not rushing. The place they found was quiet. Complete a table appeared for them at the edge of an open space that could become anything. Emily sat first, Alex joined her for a moment, neither spoke. She watched him carefully. You still look at everything like it's about to reveal something. It usually does. She smiled.
I know.
Food appeared. Just right. Not chosen.
Still no menus.
Alex observed.
Still no wrong choices.
She replied. He leaned back.
You always like that.
I always like knowing things before they happened.
He caught the weight in her words. And now?
Now I like watching them happen anyway. She knew what was coming. Next year, the tournament, the moment he'd almost win and Smith would take first. She said nothing. He needed to become complete, and warning him would only change the wrong thing.
I'm thinking about joining next year.
Alex said.
She didn't hesitate. I know.
He looked at her.
You always do.
He leaned forward.
You think I should?
She took her time.
Yes.
He studied her. That wasn't hesitation, that was calculation.
Everything is calculation.
Not everything, some things.
You just know.
That's still calculation, she said softly. He didn't push, he simply looked at her direct, present.
What are you planning?
She raised an eyebrow, planning.
You don't just appear, you align.
She smiled. Maybe I just wanted to see you.
He didn't buy it, but didn't press maybe.
They ate slowly. Letting the moment stretch at one point. She reached across, her fingers brushing his.
Never accidental. He didn't pull away.
I love you. She said no performance, just truth.
He looked at her, simply present. He didn't say it back.
She didn't need him to.
We always loved each other, she added.
That landed deeper.
It took time out of the equation.
His hand shifted under hers. I remember. Pieces.
Good, that means you're not forcing it.
I don't want to force anything anymore.
Then don't, I'll help you.
He looked at her.
With what?
With becoming what you already are. He let out a slow breath.
That sounds like something I won't understand until it happens.
Exactly. He looked at her again. You're staying?
Yes.
No conditions certain. He noted that was enough.
Inside,
she'd already decided she would enter the tournament, not for herself, but for him. Through every song, every battle, every test, she'd be there. When the moment came, she would be the variable. She would complete the path, not break it. She looked at him, still the same, still unaware, still exactly where he needed to be. For the first time since seeing that future, she felt certainty, not that he would win, but that this time, he wouldn't be alone when he didn't. And that would change everything.
They didn't rush to leave, but didn't stay forever. Some moments complete themselves. Alex stood first, quietly. Emily followed. They stepped back into the night. A sky less dark, holding fewer distractions. They walked side by side, not holding hands, not apart, aligned.
Do you ever feel like this place remembers us?
Alex asked. Emily smiled.
It doesn't remember, it reflects.
What are we reflecting right now?
Something unfinished.
He nodded. That sounds right.
Distance didn't behave normally here. Places appeared when needed. The motel appeared, simple,
unimpressive, perfect.
Alex paused. This feels familiar.
It is, Emily said. They stepped inside. The room was quiet. Purposeful plain walls, a bed, a small lamp casting enough light. Alex stood in the center, recognizing rather than analyzing. Emily moved first, sitting on the bed, watching him.
You always like places like this.
He turned, why?
Because nothing here tries to impress you, it lets you exist.
He nodded. That sounds like something I'd choose.
You did.
He walked closer, certain for a moment. They stood together, close, quiet, then Alex sat beside her. The space between them disappeared. They lay down, side by side, not as strangers, not as something new, but as something already known. Emily shifted closer, finding her place. His arm circled her, natural and present. The room held them, no sound, no distraction. For a while, neither spoke.
I remember pieces, Alex said quietly.
Emily didn't move. Good.
I don't know where they come from.
You don't need to, they're yours.
And you?
I remember more.
How much more?
Enough to know we always find our way back.
He accepted that. I don't want to lose this.
You won't. Warm, silent, deep. I was looking for you, he said.
I know.
I didn't know where to look.
You weren't supposed to.
That's a pattern, isn't it?
Yes.
You always arrive when you're ready to understand something, she said. He closed his eyes. That doesn't feel efficient.
It's not supposed to be.
He adjusted his grip, just present.
You're different, she said.
How?
Closer.
Feels the same. No, before you were searching, now. You're starting to remember. That truth resonated through his chest, memory not as recollection, but as a force rearranging his heart.
I don't need everything at once.
You won't get it that way.
Good. Stay, he said. I am.
They settled further into stillness, no urgency, no expectation, just being. Time didn't measure itself here. Emily's breathing slowed. Safe Alex remained still, aware, present, for the first time, not searching. Memory didn't rush in, it waited. Knowing it would be received, Alex let it come, slowly.
Morning didn't arrive normally. It simply became Alex opened his eyes first, slowly, aware. He felt the calm, the presence beside him.
Emily opened her eyes, no confusion, only awareness.
They stayed like that, then Alex whispered. I dreamed about our kids.
She nodded.
I know.
How? I've studied you before you slept. I saw where your mind was going. I followed.
You saw my dreams?
I shared them. And you?
What did you dream?
She took her time.
I dreamed of us one more life together. And?
I also knew it wasn't real. Not in the way it felt. I'm not your true soulmate. I understand that.
The words didn't break the moment. They clarified it.
You were never something temporary, he said.
And you were never something I needed to hold on to.
They sat in quiet acceptance eventually. They sat up. Emily reached for something. Nothing physical, just a gesture. And a small exchange occurred, numbers known, shared. So,
we just...
He started. Continue, she said.
He nodded. That sounds right.
They stood, facing each other, no hesitation, just presence. For a moment,
she said softly.
He understood, not forever, not lost, just not now. For a moment, he echoed. She stepped closer.
Not to hold, not to stay, just to be near one last time.
Then she stepped back.
No dramatic goodbye, no need.
Destiny doesn't separate, it delays.
Alex watched her, not memorizing, just recognizing. She turned and walked, not away, but forward. He did not follow. He didn't need to.
The room remained, but was not the same. Neither was he. He stood for a moment, alone, but not empty. Not searching, just aware. And somewhere beyond his understanding, paths were already aligning again. Because what they had was not finished. It never was.